Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back to the Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast. My name is Benji, and I've replaced Patrick with a special guest today, Juliette Laboux from Team DSM. How are you feeling coming out of the off-season?
Hey, I'm feeling really good, actually. I had a good winter prep. I had good holidays after the season, and good training afterwards, good training camps with the team. So, feeling good.
When were the training camps? Is that in December or is that in January?
So we had one in December, actually, a small week, and we had another one in January also. So we had two camps, and between that, I went also to south of France, where I'm also right now, to have some better weather conditions than at home.
I can imagine. Now, you've got those two training camps. Is there a difference between the two? Is the first one more the introduction to your new teammates, or...?
Yeah, indeed, especially because we had 8 new girls, so we had to meet in person. We already had some contact, of course, but it was good to meet everyone, know the personalities and everybody, how they are. So it was actually really good. And on the bike, it was also a bit less intense than what we had now in January, where we had a lot of testing and some race simulation and stuff. So it was more of a race feeling in January.
Yeah, sounds pretty great.
Yeah.
Now, when you are on that training camp, what does your day roughly look like? Like when you wake up, what do you do for a day?
I normally directly go to breakfast, or sometimes I make coffee before I go to breakfast. It depends. Go to breakfast, and then we go back to the room, we change, and we then have a morning routine, which is like a mobility session with the girls. Yeah. We had Francisca Cor, who had the responsibility now to do the routine, because she's really good at yoga and stretching. So she did it. Yeah. So it was nice. And then we went for a ride, mostly between 3 and 5.5 hours, something like that. Then we would have lunch by the cooks. And then we either had like busy afternoon, or you had not so much. You had sometimes massage, sometimes meeting with the DS or with nutritionist, whoever was there for the experts. And then we had a everyday riders meeting before dinner, and then dinner, and sometimes we would play game also afterwards.
Okay. What games do you play? That's a good question.
Yeah, the our favorite is the Werewolf. I don't know if you know.
Oh, yeah.
This one is really funny. You sometimes have some fights, but it's but it's nice. And otherwise, we have the Double. It's a small game where you like have to be really quick. So, easy things, just cards,
This video is brought to you by Zwift. Whether you're just starting out on your cycling journey or are looking for those final tune-ups ahead of a big event or race, Zwift is the online cycling platform that makes things fun. There are 9 different worlds, thousands of kilometers of virtual road, including replicas of real-world climbs like Alpe d'Huez. There's workouts, training plans, events, and even races for every level of rider. Zwift's massive community means you're never alone on the road. So if you want to know more about Zwift or want to start your 7-day trial for free, head to Zwift.com below.
Okay, now, in 2017, you joined Team Sunweb. You've been there for quite a few years now. You've basically grown up in the team, as I would say. Do you feel like it has changed over the years now that you've got Lorena leaving the team, which was also still a young rider, but also Florcia leaving the team, and just a general change in the team where you're now one of the more experienced riders in the team? Do you feel like you're now the person people look up to for mentorship?
Yeah, I think, I'm one of the oldest now and also the most experienced in the team. So for sure, especially the new girls, they ask a lot of questions. And we are like a few girls like this, like Charlotte Cole is also, she's still young, but she's also really experienced and is a really good leader. So she also has that role, and also Pfeiffer Georgie, and also Francisca Cor as a captain also. So yeah, we are like four, five or so with Megan Jastrup, who is also young, but also really good at that. So yeah, we are a few riders who can really develop the young riders, and I feel that I have started in the opposite side when I was really young. So yeah, it's nice to now also try to learn the new girls.
Now, I've already spoken about the 2023 season for a tiny bit when it comes to the transfers, but if we look back at how it started for you, who or what inspired you when you were young to get into cycling in the first place?
In the first place, it was my brother, because he's 5 years older than me, and he started with BMX racing, thanks to the friend of my dad who had a son who was really good at BMX. And so my brother wanted to try, and I, of course, wanted to try also. And then I liked it. I could win some races in front of the guys. So yeah, it was nice. And then I never stopped cycling, actually. I started mountain bike, and yeah, then it was, never stopped.
And what did the youth years look like before you went to Sunweb? Because I'm guessing you didn't just jump into Team Sunweb instantly, right?
No, indeed. It was actually pretty smooth. Like, so I started on the road in 2012. Then I was at a good national level. We didn't have anyway international races. We had my first international races was the EOF, which is the European Youth Olympic Festival in Utrecht, it was, in 2014. Yeah. So then I got already like a first international feeling. And then in junior was the real real time where I could start to show myself. And after the first World Championship in junior in Richmond, I was like in the breakaway. And with Chloe Dygert when she won, pretty easily. Yeah. And then I got a hunger flat, but still actually the DS of Liv Plantur at that time contacted me on Facebook. Was not sure if it was real, so I had to make some Google researches. And then so we were in contact from there on, and then I did a lot of training camps with them actually when I was second year junior, and it was pretty natural for me to sign with them when they wanted me to.
Yeah, so you were not sure it was real. Are there actually like fake DSs on the internet?
Yeah, I don't know. But I was like, okay, is this like a real account? I really had to check.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
In 2022, pretty good season, I would say. Last year, finished fourth in the Tour de France Femme. You won the Volta Burgos. And next to that, took home a wonderful stage in the Giro d'Anne. And my question is about that last race for a second. The Giro d'Anne was a race with ups and downs for you, where when it comes to GC, the general classification in the Cesena stage wasn't your best day, but then towards the end of the race, you ended up winning a stage. How does that weigh up to each other? How do you feel about a race like that afterwards?
Yeah, it was special because I was really aiming for GC, and I was pretty not confident, but I had all what I needed to have to get a good GC. But then I had a heat stroke on a GC day, like it was not even like a super hard day, there was no mountains or stuff, but I just had a heat stroke. So I ended up in a group behind the leaders. So I was pretty far, and I was like, okay, I'm out of GC. So the first hours after the stage, I was pretty disappointed and really sad. But then I really had to directly switch and say, okay, now it's done. What can I do? And then I was directly thinking about the stage seven, which was the queen stage with the mountain finish. And I was like, I just want to win that one now. And
Then
I could win it. So it was pretty special. And I was pretty proud afterwards.
I can imagine. Tour de France Femme, one of the most important races of the season and arguably your career, I would dare to say.
Yeah.
Do you feel like the resurrection of the Women's Tour de France came at the exact right moment in your life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was... it was just perfect. Like, we were really aiming for having a Tour de France the last years and fighting for it. So when I heard the news the year before that we would get one, I was really happy. I think I'm not yet at my best career peak, but I was already aiming for a good GC result. So it was a really good timing, and I could feel a lot of French people got into women's cycling, and we had a lot of people watching and cheering. So it was really great.
Do you feel like it had a great effect afterwards? As in, we hear a lot of people talking. I spoke about, the Tour de France Femme, major effect in women's cycling, going to do a lot and so forth. But do you feel that? As in, do you have more Instagram followers afterwards? Or how does that work? How do you know if there's more fans out there?
Yeah, actually, Instagram-wise, Facebook, whatever, I had a lot of followers. But I think mostly what I could realize was the media attention. First, before, we had like 10 times more media attention than before. And also afterwards, I got still a lot of requests. And also, like, a lot of people were sending me messages still like 3 months later to say, thank you for the emotions that you gave us during Tour de France. So that was pretty special. Also a lot of small girls who were sending me like drawings or letters. So that was also really cute actually. And we didn't have that before. So I think now that was a big change. And still now if you talk to someone, like if you pass someone on a bike and you talk a bit and he asks, oh, you're professional? And you say, yeah. And he says, oh, you did Tour de France? And then I was like, yeah. So then, and then they actually watch like most of the people. So yeah, I think it changed and they are watching more women cycling now.
That's great to hear. Now, if you look back at when you started in the peloton, when you entered the peloton and you look at it now, do you feel like women's cycling is moving in the right direction?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when I joined in 2017, the professional world, it was actually not so professional. I mean, I was lucky to be in a team which has already a men's team, so we had a really good structure. But if you talk about salary, I think not so many girls could earn their life thanks to cycling. So, and then we got the World Tour contracts, which was a big change because everyone could get a salary for the girls who were in the World Tour. So that was a big change. And now if I compare, from 2017, there's really a big difference compared to that. And also so many more teams have a good structure now. And yeah, it's not so many years, but it feels like a lot has changed compared to the last 10 years before.
When it comes to like the calendar and how it works and so forth, there's so many races being implemented now. Does it feel like too much sometimes? Because I swear it was like double of like 4 years ago at this point.
Yeah, and I think also for the teams, it's a bit of a struggle now. I mean, you see now some teams, like especially so my team had to miss Australia for multiple reasons, but you can see there's so many races and we are not like big teams. We are most of the time between 14 and 17, I think, something like that for the World Tour teams, which is not so much. And also staff-wise, we don't have so many staff compared to the races, to the amount that we have. So I think it's a bit of a struggle so far, but maybe the next years it will be a bit more filtered and maybe better for the teams.
And it's also noticeable when it comes to the amount of riders that show up in races for World Tour teams. I swear that I just saw the Cal Evans Great Ocean Road Race start list and half of the teams are with four riders. So does that change the dynamic of the race? Because like, if we look at women's cycling, I feel like breakaways happen less than in men's cycling. Is that because there's less riders to control a breakaway, or what do you think the dynamic is behind that?
I think that can play a role. And I mean, especially in stage racing, I think there's so far not really breakaway days. I mean, I had one in Giro, but this was still, I mean, I was the only one to survive the breakaway, so you cannot really count it like that. I think every stage, the girls want just to win it. Also the GC riders, because we didn't get so many chances to have media attention and stuff. So every time, every race, we want to be winning the race. And I think that's maybe what makes the difference. And normally if we have breakaway, like for example, if I say in a classic like Nieuwsblad or whatever, there's most of the time a breakaway, but it lasts like 40K and then the race is already on and until the finish. So yeah, I think it's maybe just a style of racing, which is different compared to the guys. I don't know if it's, because of the amount of riders, maybe not.
Yeah, okay, I get that. Now, we've also seen the parkour change a bit when it comes to the routes and so forth. I feel like over the last few years, maybe it's just me, that there's more pure mountain stages coming. And maybe that's because there's more races coming that we see more pure mountain stages. But also in the Tour de France Femmes, there's that dedicated mountain stage. Do you feel like that benefits you as a rider? Or would you see yourself more as still versatile because you still get good results at Amstel Gold Race and so forth?
I think I'm still happy about it. Like before, it was only Giro where you could really have proper mountain finishes and a few races, of course. But now we have way more chances. And I think, for me, it's good. And I want to keep improving on that because I'm not yet like with the very best. So I want to be physically still a bit stronger. But I think, I also like when it's a bit more like complete. So for example, with the TT in the end of the Tour de France, I was happy about that. To have a bit more for all-round type of riders. And but I also like the classic type of races. But I'm not really punchy, so sometimes it's also hard for me on these kind of stages. So it's a bit in between.
When it comes to the time trial, I think you got 11th or something at the World Championships in the ITT. Do you feel like that's something where you can still step up? For example, do you think you can still spend like some time in a wind tunnel to get that better? Or How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think Worlds was really not my best time trial last year. I really didn't have good feelings, but I was the year before sixth when it was really flat in Belgium. Yeah. So I think, my TT is quite good, and I want to also improve it, of course, with now the TT in the Tour, especially the team puts more focus on it, because last year we didn't really have a TT goal, only the Worlds, but for the team it was a bit less interesting, of course, and we really focused on the Tour and Giro last year, so we didn't really have much time to focus on it. But I also sometimes do with the French Federation some testing because it's also for the Olympics, so it also plays a role in that. So maybe this year I will do another winter testing, but yeah, already with the team last year I did some track testing, and we had a big change in my position because we changed bikes to the disc bike. So yeah, but I really like time trials, and it's a really good discipline because you have so many things that you can improve. So you're never perfect in it. So yeah, I like it.
And it's a major way to gain on people that aren't the best at time trialing. So it's very useful, of course. Now, going back to the Tour de France Femmes 2022 for a second here, Marina Wibbes' transfer announcement publicly came at the exact start of the race, like the perfect timing, of course. For you as the riders in Team DSM, were you aware of that, or was that also like a bomb that dropped in the team?
I mean, I was a little bit aware, but most of us, I think, were not. So it was pretty much not expected. And for Lorelai, it was really not so nice from the journalist that he published out, especially when she was winning the stage. But we had a really good actually reaction from everyone. We just accepted it. And she also had a speech in the bus and the DS also. And yeah, it was, it's how it goes sometimes. And it's also cycling. So but we never had really problems about that. Like we, was pretty fine actually during the tour. We said, anyway, she's still in the team, so it's not going to change something. And yeah, it was fine actually.
Now you're the climbing side of the team, but when it comes to the sprinting side of the team, losing Lorena is quite a big deal when it comes to the amount of victories. But Charlotte Kohl is also quite fast. Like she's incredibly fast.
Yeah,
you think she can step up?
I think so. I think we have a lot of trust in her, and she's a super committed rider, and she's training really well and really serious. And yeah, I'm pretty sure she will. She will do her best. And I mean, already last years in training camps, if they were like fresh, both of them, they could. They were a bit the same sprinting. Oh. So nice. Yeah, I think if she can survive a bit better the hills and that she's less tired in the end of the race, I think she can, I don't want to say too early, but probably she can beat Lorena, or at least we will try to make the best lead outs for her so that she can win. And yeah, I hope for her and for the team that she will win races.
Now, Liana, Florce and Lorena are all three leaving the team. That's like three major like team leaders, I would say, depending on the races, of course. Do you feel like there's more pressure on you to deliver when it comes to results now?
Yeah, I think so, for sure. It's a bit more of a responsibility. I'm more like a clear leader compared to before, where I was most of the time sharing leadership with Liana, just not for the GC most of the time, but for all the other races, we were sharing the responsibility, and Florce a bit more for the classic. So it's for sure a big change, but I was ready for that. And we have really strong new girls coming in the team, and I think the ones who were already getting stronger last year will also be really good this year. So I'm not really worried for this year.
I'd expect that Tour de France Femme to be the big deal again in 2023 for you. But what races are you lining in front of that and maybe after that?
Yeah, we have with the team the three big goals with the Vuelta, Giro and Tour, which is ambitious, but it's not like the guys, of course. It's not 3 weeks. It's just 1 week and 10 days for the Giro. So it's normally possible, especially because Vuelta is in May, and then you have some time to recover for July. A little bit like this year, actually. If you take, for example, Burgos instead of Vuelta, it's a bit the same kind of calendars. And then I will have for sure other races to target, but a little bit less important goals. But I will be also a bit more free, like in the Ardennes probably, and some other races where I can probably try some things and to race for the win.
What do you think about the calendar changes, as in, for example, the Vuelta moving to May, the World Championships being
earlier?
Yes, early 2 months August, earlier.
Yeah.
How do you feel about those changes? Does that change anything?
Yeah, I mean, it's often actually changing. You have the Olympic year, which is different. Yeah. And then I think now it's because of the world, like where we have all the cycling events. But yeah, I think it's just, you have to think a little bit different for your calendar. But it's not, I think for women's cycling, not a big difference. like I said, like Volta is in May, but before we had Burgos. But now the thing is there's three races there. So you have Volta, Burgos, and Itzulia. So you for sure have to choose. I mean, maybe some girls would do three races, but I don't think so. So yeah, you have to miss some races compared to before where you could do almost everything. At least when I started, like the big favorites, they were doing, they were almost not missing any World Tour races.
Yeah, I can imagine. Now, you said combining the Giro d'Onda, La Vuelta, and the Tour de France Femme, is that more combinable because the Vuelta goes earlier? Or do you think it's harder to combine? Or is that even, like, do you need to peak for a specific one, or can you be at level for all of them?
I think you can be at level for all of them. Like, you can peak, for example, in the end of April with the Ardennes until the Vuelta. Then yeah. I will probably have some rest, and then we'll prepare again for July. I think it's, yeah, that's possible. And I learned some things from last year. Like, for example, after the Tour, I stopped for a bit, but then I had actually some struggles to find actually a good shape until the end of the season. I was a bit fighting for it. So I think this year we will maybe take a bit more rest in August. Maybe I do Worlds and then afterwards resting. Like, yeah, a little bit different, but I think you can be having too big peak shape.
Now, you spoke earlier about the grand tours of women's cycling are not 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Should they be, or does that not matter?
It's a hard question, huh? But I think it would be good already, maybe 2 weeks. I think that could be possible. And then you for sure would have to choose. I think doing three would be a bit like the guys, only a few would do it.
Yeah.
But I think 2 weeks could be a good one, like between a mix of, yeah, of 1 week and 3 weeks. That could be in the middle. And yeah, because now 3 weeks is maybe a bit too much for the smaller teams. But on the other hand, I think, yeah, women are really endurance. So I don't think that would be a big problem. Maybe it would be a bit different also racing-wise. Because now, even in Giro, it's 10 days, but it's almost 10 days full on racing. There's, like I said, like almost no breakaway days or easy days.
Yeah.
yeah, so I think if it was 2 weeks, it would also be a bit different. And we would not race from kilometer zero until the end every stage.
Yeah, I think so as well. But then again, I'd have no rest at all between the Giro and the World Championships. Yeah. I'd be dead by the end of the season.
That's a challenge, so.
But hey, at least I'm not riding them.
True.
But yeah. About the Tour de France Femme for a second again. You finished fourth, I've said it earlier, in 2022. I guess the next step is trying to step on the podium. But to get on that podium, are there specific changes that you apply in your training compared to last year that you're like, oh, I learned something along the way, I should try and do this differently to maybe be that tiny bit better?
Yeah, a little bit. Like until now, I was really focused on the long climbs and stuff. And I think now, like I said, I'm already on a good level and I can still improve it. So I'm still working on it. But we also added some more intensity work during the winter, like almost directly after off season. I did already some pretty high intensity efforts. So to get a bit more of explosivity and not really explosivity, but like on repetition of climbs of like 4 or 5 minutes, these kind of efforts, which were a bit my weaknesses so far. So yeah, hopefully it can help me this year to be really with the best and try to get to the podium.
Especially when it comes to the parkour of this year, where you've got 2.5 hilly stages, I'd say, or maybe 3. It depends on how hard it's ridden. And then you've got the Tourmalet and the time trial at the end. What does it mean to have the Col du Tourmalet in this race?
I think, first it's nice because it's Tourmalet. I've never ridden it, actually. I almost never been in the Pyrenees. So yeah, I was happy when I heard about that stage. But I think it's, for sure there will be some difference there. But sometimes we are pretty equal in level with some girls, like you saw with Kasia or Cecily last year. So I think the difference can be made in actually the most tricky stages, like the one who are like with punchy finishes or the one which is like with all the small hills. I think this can be tricky. Like this year, actually, the podium was made pretty much in the stage 2 when there were like a group going in the last lap. So in the end, not even in the mountains. I think it can be the most tricky and maybe not even the Tourmalet. Maybe Annemiek will still have 5 minutes. That's possible, but at least for the other places.
Well, I've got nothing against Annemiek, but it has to stop at some point. But when it comes to the parkour again, like we've got it being a bit backloaded when it comes to the races in the last few days, or the hardest days when it comes to the big mountains and the time trial, the more GC-centric days.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like that's a good thing, or do you think it should be more spread across the race?
No, I think it's good. And I think especially because it's only 8 days, then you really get with that. When it's really back to back, I think you can really feel a difference with riders who can recover well or not. So I think, for me, normally it's better because I can normally recover quite good. Like fatigue resistance is one of my skills. So I was happy about that. And I think, you can get more difference compared to if it was more spread out, and you can recover. Everybody can recover better if it's more spread out. So no, I think it's interesting.
When you go into those races, do you feel like the goal initially is, I want a podium? Or is there some sparkle of like, maybe I can beat Annemiek and Demi here?
I think you have to see day by day. Like, I mean, you have to really want the best out of yourself. That's always what I try to tell myself. Like, you just do everything what you can do. Have no regrets. Just try everything. And if there's opportunity to go for better than podium, I will for sure try. I just want to finish the Tour de France. Even if I'm like sixth and I have no regrets, I would be satisfied. So, that's the most important, I think.
So yeah, Juliet, I wish you the best when it comes to the Tour de France. That podium is coming. I can feel it.
I was already hoping
it would happen in 2022. But we got to build up gradually. Eh?
Indeed.
I want to thank you very much for being on the podcast. It was a nice conversation. We learned a lot more about you and about how the inner workings of Team DSM are going into the 2023 season. And I guess good luck going into your first. Which is your next race?
Not announced yet, but it's soon.
Well, we'll see it very soon. Can't wait to see on the social media of the team. Thank you very much. Cool. And to everybody that listened, thank you very much for listening. And we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.